And you won't tell the STI story?
Fuck no.
You
no,
it's a real short story.
No, you're recording right now. I'm not
going to
tell you.
It's time for Devil's Business.
It's just what I always wanted.
That's not a 39 and a half foot pole.
Welcome to the show. It's a show that covers sex, drugs, and rock and roll lives of the people. They're still awake while all the wholesome people are sound asleep, like they should be, like the good boys and girls. Here's your host, Patrick Jolly, and with him are the guys of MyFavoriteSin.com, Aaron Sofane, Zach AKT, and via phone, Nick Alcohol Nick.
What's up? What's up, guys?
Oh, thanks, Santa. I didn't know
that, like,
know you were here.
A sodomistic Yogi Bear was going to host the show.
This is the XXXmas episode, or as Aaron likes to call it, the double XXmas.
Yeah, double XXmas. That's still double three X's. X's. Do your math.
So yep. This is the Christmas episode, and we're going to be telling some Christmas stories, and you got a ho-ho-ho down story we're going to tell in a little bit. But before we go into that, we're going to go with our sponsor, MyFavoriteSin.com. T, tell us the events for the week.
We start off on our usual Wednesday bear bong night, as we learned last podcast.
The famous bear bong.
Yeah, we just started that. We had to make new flyers for it.
I'd like to apologize to the dozens of you who are disappointed about the lack of bears and bongs last Wednesday.
Yeah. We just had beer pong. It was weird.
Then we go straight into Thursday for Tongue and Groove, the number one spot to be at on Thursday night. When, on Friday, we're going to be at Cosmo Love, and there's an ugly sweater party on Friday the 13th.
My favorite scent, Xmas. Ugly sweater party. Wear your ugly sweater.
Yeah, and if you don't, you got to order that shit on Amazon now.
You better
expedited shipping.
Yeah, you better shop carefully because if you want to beat our ugly sweaters.
Yeah, we
got some pretty
dominating.
Good ones.
We came to win.
So that's December 13th.
Yeah,
that's this
December
Friday.
December 13th. Yeah, and then on the 14th Saturday we're doing it's our fifth annual All Naughty Zero Nice Bad Send a Bender party.
That's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be really
it's
great.
Always awesome, because and it has been for four other
it's
times.
It's been rated 3 skulls, I've heard.
Skull.
Sweet. Double skull,
I think,
as some might say.
I think I might find my bad Santa costume again. A few years ago, I came down. Y'all did it in Pensacola at the Captain Fun's downtown.
Yeah, Captain Fun's downtown.
And I showed up with a bad Santa costume to surprise the guys. I was wearing a bad Santa. Well, the problem was I'm method. When I do this. And so I started drinking at the hotel, finished a bottle of Jaeger. Then they brought me to a club. Where
is Jaeger the bad Santa Bender?
It felt like it was.
Drink of choice.
Yes. I drank a lot of Jaeger. And I don't remember much of being at the club, but I saw the pictures. And there were some photos of me. I had some kiss marks on my face and neck, and I was stealing purses, apparently. I have no clue where I got
them.
Yeah,
you were getting lots of lap action.
Yeah, it was...
People telling you what they wanted for Christmas, which you ignored and called them whores.
I did. The thing is, I remember I was wandering through the club. Y'all were trying to keep me corralled in VIP, but I kept wandering around the club, and I had people stopping me to tell me what they wanted for Christmas, and then people picking up my beard that had fallen off of me at some point and shoving it back in my pants. It was so I might just do that again. I think it seemed like fun. Everyone had a good time.
I gotta say, the bad Santa Bender, it started in Pensacola, but it's always legendary.
So
it's been up here the last couple years.
Yeah, so that's gonna be this Saturday the 14th at Tongue and Groove.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, thank you, T. I think you nailed it first try.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is the Christmas episode, so we're going to tell... I think before we get going, I want to ask, has anybody in here had a bad Christmas gift? Because I have had a really bad Christmas gift before. One Christmas, and I was about 12 or 13, all I wanted was a dirt bike. And all I kept asking for was a dirt bike. And I learned early, if you just keep asking for one thing, and they keep going, yeah, okay, other than that, what else would you want? I would never give them another option. So either they're going to just fuck up my Christmas or get me what I want. I was one of those guys. Put all the chips on one card. So I was like, dirt bike. And I'm one of those privileged white kids that would totally do that. So I was like, I want a dirt bike. And nothing ever showed up under the tree. I was seeing no signs of dirt bike all the way leading up. And then all of a sudden, about 3 days before Christmas, this big box shows up by the Christmas tree. But it's only about 2.5 feet by 2.5 feet. So not a dirt bike, but when I rock it back and forth, it sounds like a dirt bike helmet. I'm like, oh, that's definitely a dirt bike helmet. Oh, it's going to be awesome. And so I'm like, it's a dirt bike helmet. My dad goes, that's not a dirt bike helmet. It's a leaf blower. And I'm like, ah, ha, ha, it's so funny. And then come Christmas morning, I open up the present, and it's the box of a leaf blower. Because my dad's one of those guys that will go too far for a joke. And I opened up, I'm like, oh, he went and got a leaf blower box to wrap the helmet in. That's hilarious. He really went all out on this joke. And then I open up the box, and it's a fucking leaf blower.
He's wrapped my helmet in a leaf blower. What a really elaborate ruse.
Give me the screwdriver. I got to open the shell of this leaf blower and pull the helmet out of what's contained within. And no, my fucking dad got me a goddamn leaf blower for Christmas. Now, long story short, I actually got a dirt bike later on that day. But I was sitting there Christmas morning holding a leaf blower going, you got me a slave toy?
Oh.
That's what I go, that's it?
I can't believe he bought a dirt bike and then spent the extra $100 to get a leaf blower.
For a joke.
He knew I would have.
Well, not just a joke. Also, he doesn't have to do leaves anymore.
Yeah. And that leaf blower, dirt bike is long since gone. It's been gone for years. The leaf blower is still at the house. I still use it every year to blow up my parents' driveway. Thinking. Thanks, Pops. Yeah. T, you had a bad gift.
Yeah, it's funny.
Honestly, when you told me this gift, it didn't sound horrible to me. But then when you told me the time frame when you got it,
right,
it made no sense.
The gift sounds like, all right, yeah, that's a logical thing. Like if I was, and I'll explain later, but if I was like moving out, you know, after college or something, then this is a very logical gift. But as a 12-year-old, the last thing you want to get for Christmas is a fucking dresser.
We gave you a dresser,
so
furniture.
And it's funny because my mom always like expressed to me, like, I always wanted the grandparents to get you fun gifts because I always got like the socks and, you know, and shirts and shit like that for my grandparents. And it was,
so they
it was
got
never
you
fun.
A...
And so and we went on a string, and it was unfortunately during the very pivotal time of like when Christmas was really, you know, important to me, that I got like a trophy case for all the sports that I wasn't in. To hold all those trophies. And then one year...
Your mom and dad had aspirations that you were going to be successful at something.
Yeah, no. It was really bad.
They just got you a trophy just to show the emptiness that you had in your life.
Had it been a participation medal case, I would have been loading that bitch up. But
also ran.
Yeah. but no, so I I'm like 12 years old, and I'm going in, and obviously I just see this massive present, and
that's awesome.
It's for Zach. That's great. I'm like, I'm going to open that one last. They're like, no, go ahead. I'm like, nope, save for last. I don't know
it's
what it is.
The biggest one.
But it's the biggest one. That means it's the best one. Lie. The biggest one is not always the best one.
You're like,
sure,
you open up like, yay, I can put this in the corner of my room and look at it.
I'll put all the clothes that mommy got me in it.
Yeah.
This is the worst ever.
Aaron, did you have a bad present or do you have a best present ever?
Look, you know what, and this is going to sound weird, is I'm swilling this delicious Jim Beam and eggnog. But the worst Christmas gift I ever got was I'm going to have to go with this gigantic bottle of Jägermeister.
So now, that sounds like a great gift,
yeah.
But with limits.
It does. It does. And you know what? Man, this thing was probably 3.5 feet tall. Came with its own like display shelf. It had to have cost...
T could have put it in his display shelf for you.
Yes, gosh.
He should have called me.
You have a trophy case?
Yeah.
So anyway...
Aaron for the win.
What I decided was... and I had to come back... I had to work the day after Christmas, so I had to come back into town on Christmas Day. So I got home, and Nick was off celebrating Christmas in Atlanta. You know, when I got home, so he was out with some people when I got back into town. So I decided, you know what, I've got this gigantic bottle of Jaeger, and so I'm going to enjoy a little bit of it, maybe watch an action flick. Man, I start drinking it, and I start drinking it really fast. And I'm first drinking it like with little shots that are half Jaeger and half Red Bull, keep the party going, and tossing those things back fast as I can. Then I run out of Red Bull, and then it's okay. Nick's got like a monster stash in the back that had been open and probably sitting there for a few weeks. But you know what? Whatever. Start pouring that in, and then it gets just I'm drinking straight fucking shots of Jaeger and having a great time. I got my little Santa Claus hat on.
And I'm watching a Christmas special, and I was like, oh, man, this is awesome. Christmas is great. And like the view off the balconies, the Atlanta skyline, and I'm feeling all emotional and awesome and thinking about how great my life was and that this was the best Christmas ever. And then I shit my pants.
So it was a great Christmas present up until you shit yourself.
Too much Jaeger, shit my pants.
It sounds like it wasn't the Christmas present's fault, though, really. It was a great Christmas present. Look, it just went to a terrible Christmas receiver.
You made it bad.
If you're buying an awesome gift for me, you know what? And the thing is, they're like, you know what? I know Aaron, and he's obviously a giant alcoholic, or else he wouldn't talk about it so much on MySpace.
clearly so still drunk, this would be a great thing. Realize that MySpace doesn't exist anymore.
But with gift giving, you've got to think past the first level, which is like, you know, hey, this would be neat because this person vaguely expressed some interest in that thing that one time, and this is related to it.
Right.
You've got to like think a little farther. Like, okay, yay, great. If I give this to him. Like, for example, Nick's father gave him a pistol. And I have to say, yeah, I understand where your father's coming from. He's like, awesome, Nick will really like this. He'll be good at shooting it. But then he doesn't think it that next step. Like, what will Nick really do with it? He's likely to shoot one of his friends. And you people, we should start giving each other Kevlar vests for Christmas. Just FYI. just a little heads up. But anyway, yeah, if you're going to give me a giant bottle of liquor that may weigh close to as much as I did at the time, because of my sweet Coke body. But if you're going to give me a giant bottle of liquor, you got to think, yeah, will he enjoy it? Yes. Take it one step further. Will he use it properly? Probably not. And that's when you just like, fuck it, I'll get him a bow tie and maybe he'll bitch about it on the radio someday.
All right, this next story, I know Aaron and Nick had a ho-ho-ho down, I guess is what we're calling the story. Go with it.
Yeah, we're calling the story ho-ho-ho down because it was actually the name of a party we went to when we first moved here. Man, we wanted to hang out with the beautiful people, and we found a bunch of beautiful people, really awesome looking, very cool people to hang out with.
Right.
And one of them, named Carrie, she was having a party at her house, and she's calling the ho-ho-ho down, and all the cool kids were going, all of them.
And y'all got invited?
Dude, it was awesome. Oh, dude, we were totally invited. And by the way, everybody, I'm phoning this shit in, and that's why I sound like I'm in a tunnel. But yeah, I'm phoning it in, so don't judge me. But we went to the ho-ho-ho down, and it was really far away from our house, outside of the perimeter, which Aaron and I would never do. But, you know, we made an exception because it was the hottest house party in Atlanta. We just moved there. You know, it was our first Christmas, and we were like, fuck yeah, how about hell yeah? And then it had Secret Santa, and it was nothing but, Aaron, how many hot bitches were at that fucking party?
All of them.
All the hot bitches.
All of the hot bitches were at this party.
So it was very literally a ho-ho-ho
down. It was fantastic. We showed up.
Absolutely.
And we were just happy to have been invited in the first place.
Right.
And when we got there and saw how beautiful everyone was and some of them were funny. man, we were like, oh, this is great. And there's just booze. And so we start drinking. We start drinking and meeting people.
And they were burning a fucking hay fire out back. And then not to get ahead of myself, but yes, we were drinking. And we had a Secret Santa. But this Secret Santa, there were stipulations. You had to bring alcohol or something fucked up. So all of our friends and all of our new acquaintances, they did the smart thing, and they all brought fucking alcohol.
Yeah,
but they didn't bring just alcohol. Everybody brought candles of very hard liquor.
Well, we wrapped it up. So the party started, and it was going along pretty good, and people are outside around the fire, and everyone's telling stories,
right.
And so many pretty girls. Did I mention that?
Yeah.
And but then they start yelling, hey, we're going to do Secret Santa. And, of course, all these people are people who, at the time, were in the Atlanta club scene.
Right.
These are the bartenders and, man, models and everyone who might hang out at a bar, at a nightclub.
And fucking me and Aaron.
Yeah.
Two dirtbags.
this guy that used to that lived with us, and we're going to leave his nameless because some shit happened later in the story. We'll get to that. But
our other roommate.
The three of us will get to this party, and like Aaron said, we might as well have been three walking hard-ons in this place. Like it was retarded.
Yeah,
how
and we were
good it was.
Man, we're bouncing around and we're being funny, and man, it was going really well. And then they call in the Secret Santa, and so everybody goes in.
Exactly. They call in the Secret Santa. And it was it was elementary at first, man. It was very cordial, it was polite, but then people started unwrapping the good stuff, which were the handles of liquor.
Yes,
and I'm just gonna
handles.
Sit there. I'm gonna say this to start this off, just to give a little preface on how it started to go down. One of the first bottles that arrived was a handle of Patron.
Oh.
Not just like the big bottle. No. It was Cuervo or something like. It was tequila, but whatever tequila has a fucking handle. And when that showed up, you know, the party
Cuervo.
When everybody's having a good time, and then tequila shows up, and then it just spirals out of control immediately.
And the thing is,
someone's gonna wake up in the woods with their butt hurting.
Yes, yes. And the thing is, man, we're having a great time, but the weird stuff had sort of started to happen, like. Odd people were starting to show up laying, I don't know, falling out of the bedroom, you know, that kind of thing where you're like, wait, right. That's kind of weird that you guys would do that now. you know, and that kind of stuff. It just started happening. And I started getting a little concerned. I had a little mild concern. And as you noticed, Nick just brought up the tequila because I noticed as soon as that was opened, whoever opened it and that was their Secret Santa gift, like they took a swig straight out of the jug and then they handed it to Nick.
Oh,
and Nick
God.
Started drinking it out of the jug. And you know what? I was okay with that because we're having a good time.
Right.
But I started noticing that Nick and my other roommate are really, really, really having a good time.
Right. I mean, okay. And then I noticed that Aaron was getting a little concerned too. And here's one of the great parts about it. Here's what happens to Nick, and Aaron can attest to this. I call this Darko Nick. I call this Nick where he does something and doesn't realize he's done it until after it's happened, and I go, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
And here's what happens. So Aaron and I are at the front of the house. The front door's open.
Well, now there's a reason here, Nick. I was trying to get all of us together so I could drive us home.
Right, he was.
That was the first original premise.
Right, and then so we're standing at the front door, and then, and correct me if I'm wrong, Aaron, but at this point, Aaron had managed to get the keys from our other roommate, because while we're having this conversation, he looks over and he goes, oh, shit, Nick, and I go, oh, fuck. And we see our other roommate with the handle of Cuervo drinking it like it's a bottle of aqua.
Yeah, and he's drinking it like he's standing on the bar, you know, in a mini skirt and just pouring it all over his face.
Like, he might as well have been kissing the crowd with his urine. I mean, it was that kind of pose.
Like he's a coyote ugly girl.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the point. And I'm like, uh-oh, we've got a problem. And the thing is, like right after his coyote ugly moment, he like sort of disappeared, and I was like, fuck, I got to run him down. So I was like, Nick, stay right here. I'm going to go find our roommate. And so I went wandering off, and I ended up out in the front yard. And then, you know what? I met a really cool guy.
Right. He's a mutual friend of ours. And I think, because remember, I had just met this guy. Remember the story I told you guys about the girl was wrapped around the toilet upstairs in Jackrabbit?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So this is a real person, because I'm sitting there thinking if you drink enough tequila, you're gonna.
D-Mar. It's D-Mar, everybody.
D-Mar.
It was. So Aaron.
We just
Aaron
met him.
Is a little worried. Aaron is out front, standing under the front under the tree in the front yard
with the cocktail.
I'm still standing in the doorway, and I have a little moment where I think, you know what would be a great idea? A flying burrito. So
what's a flying burrito?
Is that exactly what it sounds like?
That's exactly what it sounds like. You run full speed and then you jump and then you fly horizontally and you treat your two friends like fucking human bowling pins, and that's what I did.
Wait, what did you think I was envisioning when I said, is that exactly what it sounds like? I'm envisioning you just throwing a burrito across the room. And I'm like, wait, where'd you get the burrito? I didn't envision that you were just catapulting yourself and your friend. That would be more like a human bowling/dart experience.
Yeah, look, he does this thing, but look, I'm talking to this guy, and I'm actually talking to him about how I'm a little concerned right.
about me and my roommates being able to get home safely, and I can't gather these bastards together in the same time.
It's like keeping kittens in a basket.
And I'm sitting there having a cocktail, and this guy's having a cocktail, and he's got a nice-looking shirt on. Everybody's dressed up nice for the hoedown.
Right.
And
he dressed up nice for a hoedown.
And then I hear a screaming, and right
laughing,
at the corner of my
laugh,
and he's coming at me sideways.
So wait, exactly how he said.
So wait, so you don't notice him until he's in the air.
Oh, until he's in the air. He's in the air. We're going to be hit.
Nothing can stop this from happening.
We're going to be stricken. And so, yeah, he plowed us both, drinks went flying, plowed us both into the ground. And so now I'm like, that is it. That's it. It is time to go. Responsible human beings, load in the car. So
we're drunk and
I've
responsible. We're going to drive home.
I've got Nick. And I'm like, you stay here. He's rolling around in the front yard laughing at how clever he is. So I was like, Nick, you stay here. I'm going to go find our other roommate. And I run inside. And I did have his keys at some point. But somehow that guy got him, man. He's like a ninja. And he was gone. He was gone. I ran all through
gone.
That house. His car is gone. He's gone. So I'm like,
and
damn.
Here's the thing. And he had just gotten a new car, okay?
Wait.
And just keep that in mind.
So
it wasn't a new car, but it was new to him.
This is Coyote Ugly has somehow gotten the keys from you. He has...
No, I think I set him down. I wasn't vigilant. This is my this whole story is probably my fault. Even though I was less drunk.
I mean, how long at this point did you know Nick? Were you unaware?
I've known Nick for a long time, and we were doing
this
on purpose.
At this story, you've known him for a long time, and you were the irresponsible one.
What's the one thing we know about a drunk Nick?
He's
not
to
be
trusted.
So anyway, so I was at the time I was kind of hollering at this one bitch, and Aaron was like, "Look, okay, our roommate has disappeared. I don't know what happened." Aaron, being the caring guy that he is, says, "You know what? We have got to get the fuck out of here. It's a Sunday. We have to work tomorrow. You know, white flag. Let's go." And I said, "Okay, Aaron. I feel you, and I understand, but I'm going to ride home with this bitch right here, and I'm going to drive her car." And he thinks that that's not a great idea, but I don't let him convince me that it's not.
Well, look, the thing is, he is trying to – he comes out at like – because I look around. I can't find other roommates, so I come back to where I've left Nick, right? I've left him, so I'm like, at least I've got one of the two, and we can get out of here, even though it's such an awesome party, and I wish we could stay. But no, when I get back, he's got two girls with him, and they're cute, and he gives me this whole bit about how they are, you know, he's going to drive them home, and he's got this real confident thing, and I don't want to shoot it down. And so I'm like, you know what? Fine. Okay, you got it. And, you know, other roommate's gone. I'm like, you know what? So I'm going to bail on this party. I'm going to take my handle of various booze, and I'm going to go home. Well, the thing is... For 5 minutes, I'm not thinking about any of them, bastards. I'm just in my car, and then my phone rings. My phone rings, and it's our other roommate's phone calling. And I'm like, all right, there he is. Problem solved. No big deal. Because I am a little worried because I don't have the key to get into the gate to our apartment complex, and there's some difficulties for me. not being prepared. And so I pick up the call.
Oh, you're
like,
a Boy Scout. And a Boy Scout is?
Yeah. Probably not drinking as much as I do.
I don't think you're in the same Boy Scouts as everybody else.
Really?
Not drink
rape?
As my rape.
You had Scoutmaster Scott, too.
So I pick up the phone, and I'm like, man, where the fuck are you? And it's a chick's voice. And I'm like, all right. It's like, she's like, hey, is this Aaron? I'm like, yeah, hey, girl. How are you? You sound sexy. And she was like, yeah, look, I'm with the Cobb County Sheriff's Department. And I just want to let you know that we've got your friend...
Nick here.
Is this Coyote Ugly or Nick?
Yes, Coyote Ugly.
Oh, so
we've got Coyote
Ugly,
Ugly here, and we are taking him straight to the emergency room. But afterwards, as soon as he's deemed to be released from emergency, we'll be incarcerating him.
Basically, here's what Coyote Ugly did. Coyote Ugly passed out at the wheel, crashed his new car that still had a paper fucking registration tag on it.
Now, hold on. Let's spend a little time on that, Nick. He didn't just crash it. He missed the first curve.
I'm getting there.
He missed the first curve and launched it.
He missed the first curve and wedged it between a telephone pole and a railroad track thing, like the thing, the arm that comes down.
So that the son of a bitch. So it wasn't even like touching the ground, and he couldn't get out of the car. So he just had to sit there and wait for the popo to come pick arrest him up. I'll just be here whenever you guys are ready to collect
me. I need the life.
my casket of going to jail.
I need the jaws of escape.
Where his car became the drunk tank.
Hopefully he had some time to think about his decisions at that point.
Yeah,
So Aaron finds all of this information out. Of course, he is obviously concerned.
Yes,
so
I would say he was concerned.
He does the right thing, as a good friend should, and he calls the other roommate, me, to make sure I'm okay and to let me know what happened.
Mainly to get your help.
Like,
I still don't get it.
Coyote Ugly is either dead or about to die, or just get arrested, which is
right.
All horrible.
So after the fact, I find this out. But the girl's car that I was driving was a Mercedes, okay? And I was wasted. And I was obviously had liquor on my breath. And the bitch neglected to tell me that one of her goddamn headlights were out. So I was driving DUI all over Cobb County. And then I get a phone call from Aaron, and I had a plan.
Yeah. Now look. I'm upset, and I can't get into the apartment complex, and I'm worried that our roommate's been arrested, and he's going to the emergency room, so he's been hurt too. There's a situation developing, so I call Nick, and as soon as he answers the phone, I can tell there's a problem. There is laughing girls, and he's got the music up way too loud to be answering the phone, and he's talking in that voice that he does when he's drunk and super confident.
So, I don't have to be drunk.
So I'm like, Nick, man, look, there's a situation, and I tell him the whole thing about how the cop had just called me, and our roommate is in the emergency room, and as soon as they release him, he's going straight to jail, and we've got to figure something out to do to save his ass. And Nick pauses for just a second.
Nick, the thinker of the group.
Yes, pauses for just a second. He's like, man, you know what, Aaron? You're right. This is critical that we figure this situation out. Meet me at the pony.
Meet me at the strip club?
Yes, the Pink Pony, one of the premier strip clubs in Atlanta.
It's a museum. It's a museum.
That's what Nick's plan for what we needed to do.
Look, we need to regroup. Meet me in my office.
Yes. Maybe at the strip club we'll figure this out.
That was my solution. So anyway,
you took it real seriously.
Turned out okay. It all turned out okay. And when we finally, our roommate finally was released, we actually had to go to the salvage yard to pretty much, I guess if you want to call it, identify his vehicle. And when we did, because he thought that he may have left some shit in his car, and we were like, fine, man, let's just go get your car. If it's drivable, we'll drive it. If not, because he didn't know. I mean, he was blacked out. And when we walked up to what you would call what was left of his vehicle, we all had kind of a triple hug and said, I can't believe you're alive, you dumb motherfucker.
Oh, was that bad?
It was bad.
Oh, yeah,
the car was destroyed.
So Coyote Ugly went balls to the wall that night.
Yeah, he did.
All right, that's going to be our show. We learned a lot today. We learned that what a flying burrito is. We found out that Aaron's funnier on whiskey.
Woo! Thanks, Jim.
Who would have thunk about it? And T is always going to place. Thanks for listening, everybody. Be sure to wrap it up and sleep it off. Bye.
This has been a Zombie Werewolf production.